Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us on the Zoom. Also, for those that will be joining us in other devices and later are recorded, Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this Sabbath, March 22nd, 2025. This is our review of our chapter 85 entitled By the Sea Once More of our lesson 430. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with the Tiny Tot theme song. It's a hymn entitled Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, hymn 476.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see. Every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. 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 Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Beautiful, dear brother. Thank you. We are going to ask the little ones, by the help of their parents, to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall I labor and do all thy work. In the 7 days is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people who's in the Sabbath and who's not in the Sabbath. Please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to take the time to hear all the little blessings the little one has been in their household or in any area of their life. If you would like to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For today's mommy's and daddy's little blessings, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma, particularly highlighting them both for their willingness to continuously ask questions and to want to do according to the Lord would allow them to do. I typically drop them to school, but this week their dad was dropping them to school for 3 days out of the week. And he called. Typically when I drop them to school, there's an order. We get into the car and we all take the turns to pray. And they go one after, and then I would finish up with the prayer. We, you know, do affirmations by God's grace. But yesterday, the Lord gave me a little sneak peek into their ride with their dad. And it was a blessing for me because I heard him telling them, he called to ask a question, but before the phone hung up, I heard him saying, okay, come on, you pray, and you pray. And thank God that it was a blessing to me, because even though I am not there physically to kind of have that order for them to be able to pray, that by God's grace, the Lord led my husband, and also for them to be able to keep that same routine. So that was truly a blessing to me, to hear him encouraging that, and to hear that they were continuing that as well. So mommies and daddies, little blessings indeed.
Amen. That is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Is there any other family that would like to be able to share before we move along? Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It's story time for our precious little one. Let's have a listening ears, dear one, for our dear brother will be able to share the review section of our part 4 of our chapter 23 entitled Calvary and a Story of Jesus.
The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the books of Psalms, Luke, Matthew, and Mark. Psalm 22:16, wait a minute. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, or the whipping, of our part, what we deserve, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Psalm 20, that was Isaiah 53:5. Psalm 22:16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and feet. Verse 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Luke 23:37. And saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. This is what the Pharisees said. And in Matthew 27:42, they said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down. Let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. But they wouldn't. And verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And Mark 15:29, and they that passed by railed on him, made fun of him, wagging their heads, and saying, aha, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it again in 3 days. And verse 30, save thyself and come down from the cross. This was all said in a very ridiculing tone. The soldiers divided the clothing of Jesus among themselves. One garment was woven without seam, and upon this there was a contention. They finally settled the matter by casting lots. God's prophet had foretold that they would do this. He wrote, dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Psalm 22:16-18. As soon as Jesus was lifted up on the cross, a terrible scene took place. Priests, rulers, and scribes joined with the rabble in mocking and jeering the dying Son of God, saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Luke 23:37. Next slide, please. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God, Matthew 27:42-43. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Mark 15:29-30. Christ could have come down from the cross, but if he had done this, we could never have been saved. For our sake, he was willing to die. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. This is taken from the story of Jesus, page 143.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will begin a new chapter of our lesson entitled The Death of Christ in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place March 29, 2025. Now I'm going to hand it back to our dear brothers for the review.
All right. What did the soldiers try to do with Jesus' clothing?
The answer to number one is that they tried to divide his woven seam garment among their themselves.
Yeah, they tore up his clothes, and each soldier got a fourth of it. I think there were four soldiers at the cross. But when they came to his what they call vesture, it was another garment, kind of an outer garment. They checked it over and didn't find any seams. And they said, "Here, we can't do this. Let's cast lots for it." And that way, if you know anything about casting lots, well, the one guy gets it out of the group. That's it. And how did they settle the contention? Oh, I've gone ahead and said it.
The answer to number two is by casting lots.
Casting lots. They call it drawing straws. Or sometimes they'll take a coin and flip it and catch it in their hand and then turn it upside down on the other hand and look at it. And one side they call heads and the other side they call tails. And usually the heads gets it. So they cast lots. What would happen if Christ had come down from the cross?
The answer to number three is that we could never have been saved.
Isn't that something? He was willing to endure the pain and the mockery and the jeering and the head shaking to save us. Must have hurt an awful lot. But he was willing. Thank you for listening, taking part.
Dear Brother Dick, I think there's a question in for the children. Our dear sister have a question. Sister Christina, if you're able to either use a mic or because, you know, the text does move really quickly, so you can ask our dear brother.
My question is, if he wasn't royalty like they thought he was, or wasn't, why would they even bother to cast lots on his clothing?
Well, his outer garment probably wasn't a pretty one. You know, the Pharisees wore beautiful clothes just to attract attention, and kings do that too. Royalty does it. But just the fact that it was one piece is why they chose not to tear it. You might find something more in the Spirit of Prophecy. Try reading that chapter in Desire of Ages that talks about the crucifixion. it might say a little bit more. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dear Brother Day, and for the question, dear one. What comes up in my mind, remember there's a scripture that says that rend your heart but not the garment. It's amazing that this was actually something that was shown. They was doing it for mockery. But every time when the like a lesson comes out, to be able to pay much close attention, even though they were trying to make a mockery to try to get at least something for what was happening at the time, it will give the individuals that were watching, or even us as believers now, to see why it was so important for them. But you know, there's a lesson. The garment which they were trying to kind of rep, there's a scripture that tells them that what they really needed to do is to be able to render their heart and to leave the garment of Christ alone. Do you know the righteousness of Christ is our covering to us? So just as our dear brother says, it is a very good thing to try to figure out through the Bible and spirit of prophecy for such an act. It got to be something that is very special. Just wanted to share that. It is time for Tiny Thoughts and parents to learn precious lessons in God's creation through nature. And this is our review of our topic, Moments of the Bible. And our dear brother will be the one to share.
Sad blessings, everyone. Here's today's is lesson review of last week's lesson. And lesson two is horses. Instead, the nature lesson will be here in the spiritual lesson before it. And the memory verse for the whole story is Jeremiah 8:6. It says, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. And the character quality of the whole story is industry versus slothfulness. Industry is the habit of working hard and steadily with thoughts and deeds directed by heaven.
I apologize, dear ones. The computer had froze, but praise the Lord, we're back.
Okay. Continuing. Apology accepted, Mom. Our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book FBL Year 2, Quarter 4. Family Bible Lesson. Lesson six, the sower, the seed, and the soil. And verse this below is Matthew 13:4. And it says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them. And verse 18-19 says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. And that is what is represented by the birds and earths eating the seeds that the sower planted on that side of the field. Okay, and the wayside. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Matthew 13:4. The seed sown by the wayside represents the word of God as it falls upon the heart of an inattentive hearer. Like the hard or beaten path trodden down by the feet of men and beasts, is the heart that becomes a highway for the world's traffic, its pleasures and sins. Absorbed in selfishness, aims, and sinful indulgences, the soul is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. The spiritual faculties are paralyzed. Men hear the word but understand it not. They do not discern that it applies to themselves. They do not realize their need or their danger. They do not perceive the love of Christ, and they pass by the message of his grace as something that does not concern them. As the birds are ready to catch up the seed from the wayside, so Satan is ready to catch away the seed of divine truth from the soul. He fears that the word of God may awaken the careless and take effect upon the hardened heart. Satan and his angels are in the assemblies where the gospel is preached. While angels of heaven endeavor to impress hearts with the word of God, the enemy is on the alert to make the word of no effect. With an earnestness equaled only by his malice, he tries to thwart the work of the Spirit of God. While Christ is drawing the soul by his love, Satan tries to turn away the attention of the one who is moved to seek the Savior. He engages the mind with worldly schemes. He excites criticism or insinuates doubt and unbelief. The speaker's choice of language or his manner may not please the hearers, and they dwell upon these defects. Thus the truth they need and which God has graciously sent them makes no last impression. Christ's object lesson, stages 44 to 45. When a person hears the word, he will need to put forth industrious effort to understand it, accept it, and live it. Hear and then remind. Things you can do while you remember the lesson. 1, as you work together as a family, let your chores remind you of your lesson. 2, as you put seeds out for the birds, remember your lesson of the sower. Or as you fix and eat a vegetarian lunch, remember the strength of the horse. 3, call to mind the horse lifting its mane and tail as it goes into battle, and lift up the standard of your family and church so that others may be encouraged in their war against Satan. 4, pray for a zealous, industrious spirit like the war horse shows as he paws the ground in eager anticipation of the battle before him. 5, notice halt or beaten pathways and let it remind you of the effect of actions repeated over and over. Bad habits harden the heart. Cure and the reinforce activities you can do to help you remember the lesson. 1, look for horses. Use an encyclopedia guidebook to determine the breed. 2, find pictures of horses to put on your bulletin board if you have one. 3, use a variety of seeds you have in your kitchen, if you have any, that is. Glue and make a picture of the birds eating the seeds. 4, as a family, place some seeds or grain, even, or beans on the table and pick them up one by one and put them into a container. As you do this, discuss how Satan wants to catch the words of truth away from us. We will need to be industrious to resist him. 5, say remembers. In the picture we see an Arabian and horse rider, probably a soldier, no doubt. You can see the page on 1 to 14 as the words in the picture are described. Remarkable parent food. God has given parents their work to form the characters of their children after the divine pattern. By His grace, they can accomplish the task, but it will require patient, painstaking effort, no less than firmness and decision, to guide the will and restrain the passions. A field left to itself produces only thorns and briars. He who would secure a harvest for usefulness or beauty must first prepare the soil and sow the seed, then dig about the young shoots, removing the weeds and softening the earth, and the precious plants will flourish and richly repay his care and labor. Character building is the most important work ever entrusted to human beings, and never before was its diligent study so important as now. Never was any previous generation called to meet issues so momentous. Never before were young men and young women confronted by perils so great as confront them today. Child Guidance, page 169. And in this picture, we see a sunflower. Above it are the seeds that turn into it. And below, one of the seeds, and just on the corner left above of the sunflower, it says, seeds represent the word of God. And indeed they do. And what can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. From the daffodils and the other flowers taken from our dear sister Michelle and Joan, the daffodils are a member of the flower family perennials. And it says here, Nature Perennials Part 2. Do you remember how long perennials live? In a climate with more definite seasons, perennials should be set into the garden in spring, but in warmer climates, early autumn is best. Many perennials spread by sending out shoots from their roots. The shoots grow into new stems. Many perennials make new shoots soon after they have bloomed each year. The plants do better if they are dug up, divided, and replanted every few years. This reminds me and us of how to keep moving the Israelites. He divided them when he separated the rebels from them. Those who were faithful would be replanted in Canaan. What are some perennials in your area? As the perennials bloom and send forth new shoots, it reminds us of the rod of Aaron that budded, bloomed, and brought forth fruit. It taught the people the lesson of respect for God's leaders. Had sinned against the Lord in rebelling against their authority, they also confessed that Korah and those who perished with him were sinners against the Lord, and that they had justly suffered his wrath. First Balaam, page 1115. Nature and domestic sheep. Sheep were a very important animal in Bible times, and even today, they're used for food and clothing. Wool is a wonderful natural fiber that can be made into fabric for clothing. Long ago, shepherds cared for the flocks of sheep in the field to guard them against attack by wild animals. The male sheep is called a ram, the female an ewe, and the baby a lamb. Usually rams have horns, but in some breeds, both ewes and rams have horns. Sheep walk on hoofs that are divided into two toes. They have thin ankles, and the upper part of their legs has strong muscles that help them move about quickly when necessary. Sheep have no incisors or cutting teeth on their jaws. On the lower jaw, they have 8 cutting teeth. Sheep have 6 grinding teeth in the back part of each jaw. Sheep can bite off grass closer to the ground than other animals. Most sheep have long tails, but they are usually cut off to help them stay clean. Sheep live about 7 years, but can live as long as 13. The ewe will give birth to 1 or 2 and sometimes even 3 lambs at a time. The ewe carries the lambs in her body for 5 months before they are born. The sheepfold is often a temporary pen where the shepherd keeps the sheep. When he is away from home, he will build a fence of thorn brush or rude bowers. This can protect the flock at night, as described in Ezekiel 34:14. Sometimes a cave is used. When at home, a more permanent shelter is built, usually on the sunny side of a hill. This protects sheep from the cold winds. There is an open pen and also a shed-like structure with a roof and walls. Large stones are used in constructing the outside walls. Sharp thorn bushes are put on the top of the shed to protect the sheep from wild animals and from robbers. There is a gate that is guarded by the shepherd, as described in John 10:9. Sheep seem to be very helpless animals and need the shepherd's care. We are like the sheep, and we need to be protected from the roaring lion, like called Satan. Sheep show the quality of meekness and quietness. They follow the shepherd without questioning, even though it might lead them to death. Sheep have no instinct to guide them when they get lost. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Psalm 119:176. See also Jeremiah. We'll get to that part another day. Christ, the chief shepherd, has entrusted the care of his flock to his ministers as under shepherds. That he bids them have the same interest that he has manifested and feel the sacred responsibility of the charge he has entrusted to them. He has as solemnly commanded them to be faithful, to feed the flock, to strengthen the weak, to revive the fainting, and to shield them from devouring wolves. To save his sheep, Christ laid down his own life. He points his shepherds to the flock, to the love, thus manifested as their example. But he that is an hireling, whose own the sheep are not, has no real interest in the flock. He is laboring merely for gain, and he cares only for himself. He studies his own profit instead of the interest of his charge. In time of peril or danger, he will flee and leave the flock. Future of some prophets, pages 191-191. Our reference reading of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from our youth study book, Christ's Object Lesson, Chapter 2, The Sower Went Forth to Sow, Part 3, The Sower Will by the Wayside. That with which the parable of the sower chiefly deals is the effect produced on the growth of the seed by the soil into which it is cast. By this parable, Christ was virtually saying to his hearers, it is not safe for you to stand as critics of my work or to indulge disappointment because it does not meet your ideas. The question of greatest importance to you is, how do you treat my message? Upon your reception or rejection of it, your eternal destiny depends. Christ Object Lessons, page 43:2, paragraph 2. Explain the seed that fell by the wayside, he said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Christ Object Lessons, page 44:1. The seed sown by the wayside represents the word of God as it falls upon the heart of an inattentive hearer. But the heart-beaten path trodden down by the feet of men and beasts is the heart that becomes a highway for the world's traffic. Its pleasures and sins absorbed in selfish aims and sinful indulgences, the soul is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. Continuing, the spiritual faculties are paralyzed. Men hear the word but understand it not. They do not discern that it applies to themselves. They do not realize their need or their danger. They do not perceive the love of Christ, and they pass by the message of his grace as something that does not concern them. Christ's Object Lessons, pages 44:2. As the birds are ready to catch up the sea from the wayside, So Satan is ready to catch away the seeds of divine truth from the soul. He fears that the word of God may awaken the careless and take effect upon the hardened heart. Satan and his angels are in the assemblies where the gospel is preached. While angels of heaven endeavor to impress hearts with the word of God, the enemy is on the alert to make the word of no effect. With an earnest equaled only by his malice, he tries to thwart the work of the Spirit of God. While Christ is drawing the soul by his love, Satan tries to turn away the attention of the one who is moved to seek the Savior. He engages the mind with worldly schemes. He excites criticism or insinuates doubt and unbelief. The speaker's choice of language or his manners may not please the hearers, and they dwell upon these defects. Thus the truth they need, and that in which God has graciously sent them, makes no lasting impression. Christ Law Death Lessons, page 44, paragraph 3. Our three bonus questions in review, you'll find in them either in the Bible or in the Christ Object Lessons book. And question one is, where was some seed sown? You find the answer in Matthew 13:4. Two, who came to eat the seed? The answer is in, there's also still Matthew 13, but it's actually verse 4, not verse 40. That was probably an accident or a misprint meant by the writer. And finally, question 3, was represented by the seed and the birds? The answer is in Christ's Object Lessons, page 44, and the answer is already given. It's the word of God, and Satan is represented by the birds. Is Satan industrious? All I can say is he's still trying his best to make sure everyone to avoid. But that's a thought question you can answer. And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
And remember, little ones, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Welcome to all the brethren that came in. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Fishers of Men. You can find it in the hymn at number 500. If you would like to sing the hymn with us, dear ones, you can unmute your mic to do so. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me.
Hear Christ calling, come on to me, come on to me, come on to me. Hear Christ calling, come on to me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hear Christ calling, come on to me, I will give you rest.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. If any one of the elder siblings, mommy or daddy, so even our guests, would like to be able to open our review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you for waking us. Thank you for waking us up. Please protect people who are here. Please protect people who are not here. Please protect the word that we're going to be learning. Please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are coming in. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from our study book, The Desire Ages. But this memory verse is in volume 1 of the CD. The scripture is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, King James Version, margin.
As you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things and silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, and without spot as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot.
Amen. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we hear the answer to the question? So anything you would like to share with your dear remnant family? We are going to take a few minutes to reread the first part of our lesson from last Sabbath, part one of our lesson entitled By the Sea Once More in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. The Desire of Ages, page 809. Jesus had appointed to meet his disciples in Galilee. And soon after the Passover week was ended, they bent their steps
thither.
Absent Jerusalem during the fast would during the feast have been interpreted as this affection. They add
heresy.
Therefore, they remained till its close, but this over they
gladly
turned homeward to meet the Savior as he had directed. Desire of Ages, page 809, verse paragraph 1. The Desire of Ages, page 809. Seven of the disciples were in company. They were clad in the humble garb of fishermen. They were poor in worldly goods, but rich in the knowledge of practice. In practice of the truth, heaven, which the sight of heaven gave them the highest rank as teachers. Next slide, please.
And we'll bubble down to share.
The Desire of Ages, page 809, continuing. They had not been students in the schools of the prophets, but for 3 years they had taught by the greatest educator the world has ever known. Under his instruction, they had become elevated, intelligent, and refined agents through whom men might be led to a knowledge of the truth. Zarbe's page 109, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 809. Much of the time of Christ's ministry had been passed near the Sea of Galilee. As the disciples gathered in a place where they were not likely to be disturbed, they found themselves surrounded by reminders of Jesus and his mighty works. On the sea, when their hearts were filled with terror and the fierce storm was hurrying them to destruction, Jesus had walked upon the billows to their rescue. Next slide, please.
Continuing, here the tempest had been hushed by his word. Within sight was the beach where above 10,000 persons had been fed from a few small loaves and fishes. Not far distant was Capernaum, the scene of many miracles. And the disciples looked upon the scene. Their minds were full of the words and deeds of their Savior. Desire of Ages, page 809, paragraph 3.
The evening was pleasant, and Peter, who still had much of his old love for boats and fishing, proposed that they should go out upon the sea and cast their nets. In this plan, all were ready to join. They were in need of food and clothing, which the proceeds of a successful night's fishing would supply. So they went out in their boat, but they caught nothing. All night they toiled without success. Through the weary hours, they talked of their absent Lord and recalled the wonderful events they had witnessed in his ministry beside the sea. They questioned as to their own future and grew sad at the prospect before them. Desire of Ages, page 810, paragraph 1.
Continuing the reading, all the while a lone watcher upon the shore followed them with his eyes, with his eye, while himself was unseen. At length the morning dawned. The boat was but a little way from the shore, and the disciples saw a stranger standing upon the beach, who accosted them with the question. Next slide, please. Children, have ye any meat? When they answered no, he said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Desire of Ages, page 810, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 810. John recognized the stranger and exclaimed to Peter, it is the Lord. Peter was so elated and so glad that in his eagerness he cast himself into the water and was soon standing. And was soon standing by the side of his master. The other disciples came in their boat, dragging the nets with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon and bread. The Desire of Ages, page 810, paragraph 3.
Amen. Good job. Thank you so much, the Aramling family. What have we learned in ways we have grown? Before we begin to ask the question and hear all the answers, we are going to consider our scripture from 1 Peter 3:15, King James. Be sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man. that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now we are going to reread the questions that was left. And for those that are not able to see the screen, by hearing it through the mic, maybe if you're moved to be able to share, to edify the little ones and the blessing of all in attendance. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea of this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? Number six, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to place it in the room, if not, you could use your mic to do so. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The answer to number one, who is the main character, is Jesus and the disciples.
Number two, what is the main idea for this section of the story? Is Jesus meets his disciples again for the second time, or for the first time since he was risen?
Number three, I believe the story took place at the on the Sea of Galilee when the disciples were fishing.
This section of the story began, we see, after the Passover had happened, and they went back homeward.
My answer to question five, how can you relate to the story? Although the disciples those were out of Jerusalem and in Galilee, they were still contemplating of all the things they witnessed, all the miracles that happened in the lake, like Jesus calming the storm, and even around and even the other miracle of them gaining so much fish when they couldn't catch it for when he was still, when it was way before the crucifixion, and now that same miracle happening again after his crucifixion and ascension, resurrection. It's a repeat of the miracle of the fishing net. And what can relate to that, the same miracle happening again, all they had to do was what he ordered, and it came to pass. If his directions are obeyed, everything good will come to pass.
I can also share what I relate to this story, is that when we are spending our time reflecting on things that the Lord has done for us and for others in our lives, it can be very encouraging, even though sometimes things may seem uncertain. Yet what I see also is that through it all, the Lord is right there, because he came right there where the disciples were while they were reflecting on all that they had gone through with their master. And he showed up right there, and I believe in my heart he shows up to each and every one of us when we are going through these different times too. He is right there.
For number six, as I was reading and learning, as the disciples were occupied with thoughts of the Lord and thinking even about the future, I guess a little worried about everything and how everything will play out. In that moment, the Lord made a provision for them. It's provision of food, but you can take it into a greater things in the way that when you are preoccupied with God things and worried about, you know, how, you know, thinking about the Lord and even His word and even whatever needs you might have, He already had made a provision, and it's highlighted very simply. When they came ashore, there was food already made. That is something like a lesson that can carry on into for a long time. So when we are busy thinking about our own things and worried about our own things, the Lord already provided.
Thank you so much for sharing, dear ones. And I would like to share what I have saw, and also I could relate. The Lord always had the provision around. I'm just going to piggyback at some of the information that was shared. But by looking towards another side that the Lord did not provide it, the lesson here for me and for many that may feel that the Lord is not listening to their prayers is the word that the Lord said, cast your net upon the right side. So maybe the net is on their side that the Lord did not lead any provision, but that doesn't mean that He didn't left something. The only thing is our eyes are not really looking towards where Christ wants to direct it. I remember when I was trying to be able to find employment when in the very early age of my son when he was little. And no matter what kind of interview that I went to try to get in different kind of position, it was just closed and it kept closing. I just kept saying, Lord, I don't know how am I going to be able to take care of my son. Every time when I'm going to an interview, you know, the doors are not open. And I just decided to just rest on whatever it is that the Lord wanted me to do. And by God's grace, He just wanted me to cast my net on the right side. And so far, by God's grace, it's been 25, almost 30 years now that the Lord has been not only gracious to us, but I was able to take care of my son and still able to do what the Lord had called us to do. We do not know how, and we don't even think we're worthy to do it, but remember, our help is coming from the Lord. So if we just step in by faith and trust that the Lord is able to carry us through, the Lord will do so. And another thing, I never thought that I could have been able to just homeschool my son because I didn't have the language to be able to kind of properly give him. I said, I don't know how to speak it. How am I going to be able to teach him? But, you know, the Lord had mercy upon me and put me through school for me to be able to go. But it's not because I couldn't teach my son. It's because that was such a burden upon me and the guilt that I would not do a good job. But the Lord even helped in that because the Lord did what He was supposed to by letting us trust Him and by we having faith that everything is possible through Christ Jesus. I'm so grateful that He had done that, and I just wanted to share that. Is there anybody that would like to share? Before we begin, I just want to also extend we are able now to share the little things that my son had learned when he was little. So when you see this section of nature or even the section of the small monologue, you are able to partake of the little school that the Lord had given my son from a very young age. And some of my relatives as well, they started with the homeschooling and they later went on to, you know, colleges and things like that. But by God's grace, I was able to homeschool my son from a very young age, even until today. He's still doing the apprenticeship. Keep them and keep everyone in prayer, for we all are called for a purpose that the Lord had designed for each and every one of us. I'm just going to be able to proceed, dear ones. We have thoughts and favorite poem and also special music. Our thought is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled Maranatha. This is chapter 69, entitled The Highest Kind of Meditation. And our reflection is entitled The Test of Discipleship. Our opening scripture is taken from 1 John 3:1. And it reads, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
What love, what matchless love, that sinners and aliens, as we are, may be brought back to God and adopted into his family. We may address him by the endearing name, Our Father. Maranatha, paragraph 2.
All the paternal love, which has come down from generation to generation through the channel of human hearts, all the springs of tenderness which have opened in the souls of men, are but as a tiny rill to the boundless ocean when compared with the infinite, exhaustless love of God. Tongue cannot utter it, pen cannot portray it. You may meditate upon it every day of your life. You may search the scriptures diligently in order to understand it. You may summon every power and capability that God has given you in the endeavor to comprehend the love and compassion of the Heavenly Father. And yet, there is an infinity beyond. You may study that love for ages, yet you can never fully comprehend the length and the breadth, the depth and the height of the love of God in giving his Son to die for the world. Eternity itself can never fully reveal it. Yet, as we study the Bible and meditate upon the life of Christ and the plan of redemption, these great themes will open to our understanding more and more. From Maranatha, page 77, paragraph 3. Amen.
It would be well to spend a thoughtful hour each day reviewing the life of Christ from the manger to Calvary. We should be. My apologies. Christ came to reveal God to the world as a God of love, full of mercy, tenderness, and compassion. Maranatha, page 77, paragraph 4.
It will be well to spend a thoughtful hour each day reviewing the life of Christ from the manger to Calvary. We should take it point by point and let the imagination vividly grasp each scene, especially the closing scenes of his earthly life. By thus contemplating his teachings and sufferings and the infinite sacrifice made by him for the redemption of the race, we may strengthen our faith, quicken our love, and become more deeply imbued with the Spirit which sustained our Savior. If we will be saved at last, we must all learn the lessons of penitence and faith at the foot of the cross. Everything noble and generous in man will respond to the contemplation of Christ upon the cross. Maranatha, page 77, paragraph 5.
Reflection. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Here is the true test. If we abide in Christ, if the love of God dwells in us, our feelings, our thoughts, our purposes, our actions will be in harmony with the will of God as expressed in the precepts of His holy law. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. My apologies. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Righteousness is defined by the standard of God's holy law as expressed in the 10 precepts given on Mount Sinai.
Taken from A Spirit of Prophecy book entitled Step to Christ, page 61, paragraph 1. Enclosing a small quote from page 76, paragraph 2 in the book of Maranatha, the following. Only by knowing God here can we prepare to meet Him at His coming. But many of those who profess to believe in Christ do not know God. They have only a surface religion. They do not love God. They do not study His character. Therefore, they do not know how to trust, how to look and live. They do not know what restful love is, or what it means to walk by faith. They fail of understanding that it is their duty to receive in order that they may enrich others.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Sister D and everyone. We have a poem, and the poem is entitled Be Industrious and Use Your Time Wisely. This is taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 3, Lesson 2, from page 38, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. A minute. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? Major, unmute your mic.
Number 1. A minute, how soon it's flown, and yet how important it is. God calls every moment His own, for all our existence is His. And though we may waste them in folly today, he notices each that we squander away.
We should not a minute despise, although it so quickly is over. We know that it rapidly flies, and therefore surprise it the more. Another indeed may appear in its stead, but that precious minute forever is fled.
Tis easy to squander our years in idleness, folly, and strife. But oh, no repentance nor tears can bring back 1 minute of life. Then wisely improve all the time as it goes, and life will be happy and peaceful the close.
Amen. Thank you, dear ones. Our special music is taken from the scripture singers in the section God's Love, 1 John 3, 1 margin.
Mm-hmm. should be called, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love? 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love.
If we have any testimony to share, we could be able to do that between the services or even after. We have come to the ending of our review, dear ones. So we will continue with part two of our lesson entitled, By the Sea, once more in our study book, The Desire Ages. Who would like to have closing prayer, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Mary bow her head on her knees as far as she can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for your blessed Sabbath day, and we thank you for the assurance that you give and that give us that you will provide for us no matter what, and you will be there, even when we cannot see you, Father Jesus. We thank you for all the participation of all the little ones and their parents. We ask you, Father, as we move to the other sections of the lessons, that you continue to be with us and to provide for us all the rays of light, Father, that we can attain. Be with the speaker. Be with, bless him and the other section. Continue to be with us, I pray, in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are in lesson 431 of our chapter 85, entitled By the Sea. Once more, part two, and that will take place, dear one, on March 29, 2025. I hope by God's grace that I got the scripture right. We have a scripture and also a quote from the book that we have taken the thoughts from. And this scripture is taken from 1 John 3:5. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And from our quote from Maranatha, page 78, paragraph 4, and it reads, by his perfect obedience, he has made it possible for every human being to obey God's commandments. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart. The will is merged in his will. The mind becomes one with his mind. The thoughts are brought into captivity to him. We live his life. This is what it means to be clothed with the garment of his righteousness. Then as the Lord looks upon us, he sees not the fig leaf garment, not the nakedness and deformity of sin, but his own robe of righteousness, which is perfect obedience to the law of Jehovah. I want to piggyback back to our study from the little children. Now we know why they couldn't rent it, because the righteousness of Christ is forever. May y'all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.